Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. Man, that first hour flew by. Holy mackerel for a Friday. Woo! Woo! Motored right past us today, but we're into the second hour of the program. We are glad you are here. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate your presence. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Saz's. Saz's State House. If you're going to go out tonight for dinner, maybe get yourself the big rack of ribs, go over to Saz's. It's great. They've been around a long time. But if you're looking for catering, they do it as well. Go to Saz's. S-A-Z-S. Saz's.com. That's Saz's.com. Bring him in now, Bucky Brooks, NFL Network analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Talk a little bit more about the National Football League. Bucky, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. So we were sitting here talking a little bit earlier about the NFL draft, and I wanted to get back into this. The Packers have a few holes to fill. They're going to figure out what they're going to do with the right tackle position. Obviously, more weaponry around Aaron Rodgers. They need probably a middle linebacker, some more beef up front. When you start to look at this draft, I know wide receiver is heavy. Is there another area that you can say there's a couple of guys here that could immediately impact what the Packers' needs are?
It just kind of depends, because you're kind of in a tricky situation because of the playoff run. You're sitting at the bottom of the first round. I would say there are a number of offensive tackles, the top tier one, two group, that can certainly play. You already spoke to the presence and the depth of the pass catching position. When you really look at the draft, like, that's really where the depth is. Like, there's so many pass catchers this year that you're going to be able to get starters and quality players in the third. I mean, into the third round, into the fourth round, there's so many of them. There are also a number of running backs. It's pretty deep in that regard as well. But the strengths come a lot in the skill positions on offense. And then when you get to the defense side of the ball, really, you have a number of cornerbacks that kind of radar pretty well. But outside of that, it's all about those pass catches and playmakers on offense.
So I guess the next question is, when you talk about different wide receivers that are available for Aaron Rodgers and the strengths of each one, is there one specific that, say you get at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round type of situation, is there one that you think can come in and be immediately an impact player opposite Devontae Adams?
Well, I mean, there have been a number of guys that have come from the second round in recent years that have had success. A.J. Brown last year from the Tennessee Titans had tremendous amount of success. So you can find the right guy. It's about finding the right player for their system. When I look at the Packers system, look, as much as they talk about Matt LaFleur making a whole lot of changes, it's still kind of the same thing that we saw from Mike McCarthy. The players that play there need to be catch and run specialists. They need to be explosive and dynamic with the ball in their hands. And they need to be route runners, particularly against press coverage. There are some guys, Jalen Reagor comes to mind from TCU. Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State is one. If they want an athlete, a guy that they can just kind of give him the ball and let him get out the way, Laviska Shenault from Colorado is there. And then when you go into the second and third round, there are a ton of players. Like, this is a year that if you're the Packers, you should probably take two pass catches in the first 2 days because each of those guys could hit and they could be very, very successful and productive for you.
I know they don't have a ton and the way they can just start wasting, but if you're the Packers, would you trade up? Would you go up and find yourself the surefire guy, maybe get into the mid portion of the first round to say, there's a guy there that's going to be that impact guy right here, right now?
A wide receiver?
Wide receiver or, you know, some other area. If you can get a wide receiver in the second round, would you jump up in the first round, say with a third round and your first round or something to that effect?
No, I wouldn't. I would, like a pass catcher, I would stand pat because I believe a lot of these guys are something great. I believe you can get great, I hate the word when people say great value, but I think you can get a guy that may be just as likely to pop in the second and third round as a first rounder at wide receiver. If you're talking about like an offensive tackle, yeah, then I think there's a little bit of a separation because once you get past the sixth offensive tackle, there is a bit of a divide. So if you want to get one of those top guys, Jared Wills, Tristan Wirfs, Mekhi Becton, Andrew Thomas, then you want to get in range to get those guys. Josh Jones would also qualify in that category.
Linebackers, that's another area of need for the Green Bay Packers. Give me your thoughts.
Is that a great draft for linebackers? I mean, the first round should be fine. You will have guys where the Packers are sitting, like Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma.
Love that
there.
Guy.
Yeah, Patrick Queen from LSU is an explosive, dynamic athlete that really came on like gangbusters at the end. But after you get past that, like it changes. I mean, you just don't have those three-down linebackers. You have guys that are fast and can fly, but it may not be stout enough against the run. And you have those guys that are the traditional downhill players, but those guys don't necessarily play in the league anymore. And so if the Green Bay Packers want to get a linebacker that can be an impact guy, they may have to kind of move around and kind of finesse their way up the board to get the guys that they're targeting.
Talking with Bucky Brooks, the NFL Network analyst. Tell me about tight ends. Any tight ends in this draft that you're going to say, okay, that's a guy that's really going to move the chains for you if you have good pieces around him?
Oh, I mean, like, there are a number of tight ends that can play, depending on where you want to kind of expend it. Cole Clement from Notre Dame is good. Harrison Bryant. You have two Harrisons, Harrison Bryant, one from UW, one from Florida Atlantic. Both of those guys are productive. You can go down a little farther. Jared Pinney from Vanderbilt is a pass-catching playmaker. But if you want a real complete tight end, Adam Troutman from Dayton might be the best in class when it comes to the most balanced in terms of blocking and receiving ability. He's a guy that might be there somewhere in the top 60 that could come in and kind of give you, I mean, I'm going to kind of date myself, kind of what Mark Schumer used to be for the Packers in the Hayden. How about that?
First of all, people around here, that's not dating yourself at all. We're still talking about Lombardi's Packers, so we're not dating that at all. Secondly, if you can get that kind of a tight end, a guy that's reliable enough to move the sticks, I mean, to give you 20 yards downfield and give you some catches in the red zone, that's all you're looking for in this offense. I mean, you want to be able to move the football, but you don't necessarily need a wide receiver playing tight end just to make your offense move, if indeed you get another wide receiver alongside Devontae Adams. So I completely agree with you. I'm all over that. Let me ask you one more thing in that regard when you talk about the offense. Some say you need a third guy for a running back. Now, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams both performed admirably this year and stayed healthy this year. Does this offense need a third guy?
You know, I've always wondered what the Green Bay Packers would look like if they had a legitimate running back. No disrespect to, like, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, but, like, a high-end tier-one running back. Like, they really haven't had a tier-one back since maybe Amon Green. You know, like someone where they really invested in the position and he was really an every-down player, a guy who can kind of make it happen, not only as a runner but as a pass catcher. I like Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones was very, very productive last year, but he's still more of a smaller back. I do wonder what they would look like with a big banger who also had the ability to stay on the field and do some things in the passing game. That said, if they're going down the ranks, there's so many guys. There's a guy named Cam Akers from Florida State, if you're talking about in the second round, that could be a factor. I mean, there's just so many running backs in this class. Joshua Kelly from UCLA can be productive. Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt is another one that is similar to Aaron Jones, but is productive as well. They can catch the ball out the backfield. So it just kind of depends on how Matt LaFleur wants to go with that offense and how they see that running back position being utilized. Do you share it amongst three? Do you do it with Jones and Williams? Do you want to eventually just do it with Jones and have another player that's similar to him to back him up. A lot of that is what they're kind of trying to determine and decide right now before they head to the combine. What is the approach that we want to take when it comes to filling our running back role?
One other thing I wanted to ask you about the draft, because a lot of general managers come in, and I don't know how general managers view their own draft board. I don't have each individual manager, general manager's process sitting in front of me. But one thing I find is fans will say, well, it's a deep draft for wide receiver, and you can always get somebody in the later rounds. Look, to me, I'd rather get one of the best in the former rounds, in the first or second, that is going to come in and impact my team, rather than a guy that is good but may have to learn on the fly. Because I don't think when you have a window beginning to close like you do with Aaron Rodgers in the next 2, 3, 5 years, whatever it happens to be, you got a guy that gets on that same page quicker and sooner rather than later, correct?
Yeah, but the thing is, and when you talk to executives, you talk to people, they say, like, the difference is, regardless of whether you take some guy in the first round or the fourth round, the transition to the NFL game is still difficult because everyone is playing the spread offense, and depending on the version of spread that you play in college, you may or may not have been asked to run real routes. You don't understand verbiage and the like. So I think a lot of it is, can you find enough guys that play the style of football that you want at the position? And if you have enough of those guys where you draft them, can you hope that one of those guys pops? Look, we've seen them try and take flyers. A couple years ago, they took 2 or 3 in the draft, and none of those guys necessarily popped. You just got to keep swinging. At some point, they're going to hit one out of the park. You just don't know. So I think you just got to keep taking cuts at the plate.
Always a pleasure, my friend. I certainly appreciate it. And once we get to this draft, either underway or just after, we're going to analyze it, breaking down, and tell everybody how great it was. So we're going to get you back on then, too, okay?
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Bucky, appreciate it. There you go. NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks. You can find him at Bucky Brooks on Twitter, at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. Give him a shout there. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, if you own a home or maybe rent an apartment or rent a townhouse, whatever it happens to be, Team Hochberg, they want to give you an opportunity to have them pay your rent or your mortgage for an entire year. You heard me right. Team Hochberg, they're giving listeners an opportunity to have them pay. That's right. Pay your rent or your mortgage payment for an entire year. Team Hochberg, they teamed up with the Chicago Blackhawks, and they're going to offer 2 renters and 2 homeowners the opportunity to take to the ice. And you're going to shoot a puck during the March 22nd game down at United Center against, when the Blackhawks play. If you score the goal, Team Hochberg will either pay your rent or your mortgage for an entire year. But you can't win unless you register. Go to chicagoblackhawks.com/Team Hochberg, H-O-C-H-B-E-R-G. Okay? Registration ends February 29th. Register, review all the rules, all the details, chicagoblackhawks.com/Team Hochberg. That is chicagoblackhawks.com/Team Hochberg. Team Hochberg, they've helped me. They've helped people all along the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network here in the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders. They can't help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-56-DAVID. Or visit them at 56david.com. That is 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 112-4061. Good people over there at Team Hochberg. We got a whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up. When we come back, my partner for the Milwaukee Basketball Hour coming up tonight live at Concordia University with Dante DiVincenzo of the Milwaukee Bucks. Steve Novak joins us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show, we continue on. Always great to get a Metallica tune in there. I love that on a Friday. Get you rocking and rolling a little bit. Great stuff. Hey, by the way, Bucky Brooks joined us a little bit earlier from the NFL Network. You can follow him at Bucky Brooks, at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. And don't forget, NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2020 NFL Scouting Draft Combine beginning Thursday. Next Thursday, 3 o'clock Central Time with the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and the tight ends. It goes all the way through the weekend. Great stuff from the NFL Network. I'm sure you're going to be paying attention. In the meantime, we set our sights to the team that got a win last night. They come back home today, and then tomorrow they're back at the Fiserv Forum to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. Tonight we're going to have the Milwaukee Basketball Hour live in front of a studio audience from Concordia University. Myself and my co-host Steve Novak joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am good. Where'd you go for your vacation?
A little all-star break, even though I'm retired. The wife demands that we continue the all-star break tradition, so we actually went to Italy for about a week and actually visited my former teammate, Travis Diener, who's still playing over there. He was actually playing in Pesaro. He plays for Cremona now, and he played against Milan in the Italian Cup. So we went and visited him in Italy and then spent a little time in Florence and Rome.
God, you're killing me. I've been wanting to get over there for so long. So good for you, man. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was great. We ate a ton of pasta and saw the sights and, you know, big-time walking cities. So we're just kind of out and about enjoying ourselves.
Now, did you have the kids with you?
No, we did not. We left the kiddos back. That's probably the last time we're going to be able to do that. They're 9, 6, and 2 now, and they're starting to figure out that when mom and dad leave like that, they're having too good a time. So I think they're gonna get a say now where we go. Probably a lot of kids clubs and swimming pools and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say not a lot of water parks in the Vatican, is there?
No, not quite. They're not as impressed with these old stones and towers and stuff like that. It means more to us, but I think maybe we'll get them there once they're
hey, Dad, can we get the dude in a big hat to go down the tube with us? I can see that. Hey, Steve, so this team comes out. They get a really good win last night in the sense of the last time we saw them play meaningful basketball, they just looked lethargic against the Indiana Pacers. So last night they come out. They really put on Detroit. Look, as good as that win is, that's fine. Get it over with. Joel Embiid says he's the best player in the world, and now here comes the Philadelphia 76ers into the Fiserv Forum. You got to think that comment that came out last night, that's got to be posted in the locker room this morning, right?
Well, look, Joel Embiid is entitled to say he's the best player in the world if he feels that he is, and anybody else can say it. But I guess the truth is Giannis is the reigning MVP, and he continues to be the most dominant player in basketball. So I think you're right. The timing of it seems a little suspicious, and the fact that he's, you know, known to say things like that when it's, you know, sometimes what he says is just a little more fabricated, or people go, does he mean it, or what is he trying to do here? You know, Joel Embiid is a more out there in the media and on Twitter and saying funny stuff kind of guy. So, you know, I think people know that and take that with a bit of a grain of salt, also probably expecting that he maybe does believe it. But I don't know if the timing of him saying it is very good, since he actually does have to play the best player in the world on the Milwaukee Bucks in his next game. So we'll see.
So here's my question for you. And I said I was going to ask this because I've had numerous people ask me. So when we had Pat Connaughton on the last time you and I sat down, Pat had said, we talked to him about 70 wins. And he said, well, that's great, but our goal is not 70 wins. Our goal is to win the championship, and we got to keep our sights on that. So as this season winds down, let's say going into April, this team clinches. They got the number one overall seed. Does 70 matter anymore, or do you start to worry more about load management with a clinch number one to where you can really be strong and healthy going into the postseason?
You know, I don't think 70 wins matters. I think 70 wins would be really cool. It would be historic. It'd be one of only three teams to have done it. It'd be something you can tell your grandkids about and, you know, a memory that you would have of this season. There's already been, you know, so many. And so I think if you're close, you fight for it. You go for it, not in terms of you risk, you know, injury, or you play Giannis 45 minutes to try to get a 70th win. I think that would be shenanigans. But, yeah, I think for sure if you're close, if you're around, you know, 67, 68, and you got, you know, 2, 3, 4 games left, I think all the guys are going to be aware of it. And I think it's just the same as the competitive spirit that, you know, any really good team would have, is that, you know, if there's someone out there saying, hey, you guys could be one of the greatest to ever do it. If you get 70, it puts you in a class of that kind of team. Then I think everybody knows it would be cool to do it, but I don't think anyone would be devastated if they didn't, like, for the reason that you just said. It's clearly more important and only matters that they continue to build towards winning a championship. And if for any reason winning 70 and playing extra minutes and trying to do something that there is out of character for them to try to get to 70 wins, you know, I don't see that. But I think it would be an awesome accomplishment if when it's closer, they have the opportunity to do it, I do expect them, the guys to fight for it.
Yeah, I know that that's something you would love to have. You'd love to be healthy and have that 70-plus wins in your back pocket. As the season goes on and you're facing these playoff-bound teams, because you play a lot more teams down the stretch, they have a plus 500 record, I don't know how much you really want to go for it and beat up and play physical, hard playoff-style basketball against these teams if you don't, you know what I mean, if you don't have to. I mean, you tell me, as a player, as a guy that was in a locker room, knowing if you were in the situation that these guys are in right now, what do you want? You want both, but realistically, what do you want? You know, you want the ring, right?
You want the ring. Look, 70 wins doesn't mean anything. There's been teams, the Golden State Warriors, that have
they won 73 and didn't win it.
And didn't win it. And so I think if you asked any guy in that team or in the organization, it's almost a silly conversation. Hey, if you go back and you could not put too much value on setting the record for most wins, would you have used the end of the season a little bit differently to get ready for to try to win a ring? I think they all go, for sure. And so it's hard to know if those guys really were so obsessed and set on winning the 73 games and getting the most wins record. And if that got in the way, I think they probably know if that was something that was a goal of theirs, and looking back, it shouldn't have been. But it's obvious that when you talk to this Bucks team and anybody on it, basically the 70 wins has been a, if it happens, awesome. If we're close, yeah, it'd be amazing. But and I think it would, really. I think being in a class of 70 wins in an 82-game season, it's special. But to be honest, if you can win 50 games in the regular season and get a ring, it means so much more. So I think that there really is a clear understanding that that's what this year is about.
So as we now head down the stretch, what do you look for specifically? I know a lot of Bucks fans are saying, you know what, Middleton, Bledsoe, those are the guys we're paying a lot of attention to. Once we get to the postseason, can they keep going? Can they keep playing this way? But what are you looking for?
You know, I think momentum, continued momentum of this season, because, you know, at times in the season, the Bucks are in a class of their own. And so I think, you know, coming back from All-Star break, the Bucks are talking about continuing to get better, continuing to improve. And some people say, well, look, they're the best team in the league, and they're obviously the favorites in the Eastern Conference at this point. You know, how much, what can they get so much better at? But I think it really is about continuing to fight to improve as a team right now, because they were the best team in the league in the regular season last year, and they lost four games in a row to the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so I think that's going to sit on all their shoulders, as it should, and be a bit of fear that, hey, no matter how good we are in the regular season, even last year we lost four in a row and didn't make it to the finals. So I think that fear of what happened last year and the way that it ended, you just want to continue to see momentum and good things happen and progress and figuring out tough situations and making adjustments, because the truth is, I think a lot of these guys know, look, no matter how good you are in the regular season, the playoffs are a different game, and we've just got to continue to figure out how we can be the best possible team at the end of the year by continuing to create momentum, make good things happen, and in the end, I think that just means winning games.
When you talk about winning games, real quick before I let you go, how much pressure now to do this right? Because the players play. You know that. When you hit the floor, you've got a pride. You've got a certain way you're playing. This is what you do. But how much pressure now is there on Coach Bud to kind of maneuver, manipulate, and keep this thing all right with the sizable lead that they have, the way they're beating teams, the large margin of victory, all that stuff? How much does he really now, coaching, become a part of this down the stretch with 27 games going?
I mean, he's the guy. He really is. I mean, he's won multiple championships with the San Antonio Spurs. He's been around great players. He's been around guys that needed to be heavily coached and other guys who were just completely self-motivated. He's been with teams that were the number one seed. I was actually on one of his teams in San Antonio under Coach Pop. We were the number one seed in the Western Conference. We lost to the number eight seed, the Memphis Grizzlies. He's also been, you know, part of championship teams that were not favorites and they won it. So I think Coach Bud knows what it takes right now, specifically obviously for this group, but he's been through it. He understands that at the end of the year, what's important, what you're building towards. And I just think that he has that insight that very few people truly have, like you're saying, on what it takes to continue this momentum, to continue what's important, how to talk to these guys, how to practice them, and to keep their, I think, their understanding of what's important towards the end of the year. So, I mean, he's the leader of this group, and he's done a heck of a job.
Steve, looking forward to tonight. Now, are they? Did I read this right? Are they doing tickets for tonight or something like that?
I don't know. There's quite a buzz about tonight at Concordia. I think the men's team, the women's team is planned on being there.
And, holy mackerel.
A lot of the students. So there may be tickets tonight, but it's supposed to be quite a buzz about this one tonight. So it should be exciting. A lot of people there, and it should be a good show.
This kind of feels like our own version of College Game Day, doesn't it? You've grown in stature, my friend.
Exactly. It should be fun. I like it. Selling tickets. You know, if it gets popular enough, maybe that's the way to go. Yeah, I like it.
Hey, write your own coupon. We'll let you in. It doesn't matter. Good stuff, buddy. We'll see you tonight up there, okay?
We'll see you there. Sounds good.
There you go. That's Steve Novak joining us for a couple of minutes from Fox Sports Wisconsin, the Milwaukee Basketball Hour co-host with yours truly, the analyst for Bucks Games. And tonight it is going to be Steve, myself, and Dante DiVincenzo, the Milwaukee Bucks three-point specialist, coming up tonight. We're going to be live from Concordia University. And other than the fact that they said, Bill, here's where you got to park, here's where they're going to bring you in, all this kind of stuff, I have no other idea what's going on. I heard something about tickets. I heard something about teams and student sections and cheering sections. And I don't know if it's going to get crazy. I don't know if maybe they're giving away free food along just to get us to come in and see us or something. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it should be a great one tonight. Looking forward to it. Concordia University, you're going to hear it on many of these same stations, 6 to 7 tonight. It's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. Really looking forward to it. Steve joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show is up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we continue on this Friday. Hey, I've been telling you for a while, if you are pulling in and out of your garage, maybe you've got a basement, whatever it happens to be, that you're looking at the floor and you're going, this is dreary, this is nasty, it's dirty, it's crap. My friends over at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, they provide Wisconsin home and business owners epoxy flooring and polyurea coatings at unbelievable prices. And whether it's the color or the finish, whatever it happens to be, even painting your room for free. I mean, they can help you out. And the best part about it is they're based in Wisconsin, and they guarantee it for life. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Call my buddy Sean at epoxyflooringdoneright.com. 262-443-2852. 262-443-2852. Find it for yourself, because they do unbelievable, unbelievable work. So, this whole thing with the Astros and everything that's gone on, David Ortiz, because Mike Fiers, the former Brewer, played for the Astros. He knew about this. He brought this up. He kind of broke this story open, okay, that led to the investigation. So, David Ortiz, Big Poppy, down in Boston's spring training facility down in Florida, he gets a microphone in front of him, and he went off on Fiers.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on? So they stopped that. So all this thing that is going on right now, it's not out there, because it's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while. And you don't want that.
And you don't want that. You're right, but you also didn't want to let it go on. I don't understand. I mean, I get there's guys that tell on other guys, and then you get to be a snitch. Okay, I understand it. And the timing of it, you know what? They win the ring, he goes away, and then suddenly he starts. But he told his teammates to say, hey, this is what goes on in Houston. You got to be aware of this, because he was a part of it. He knows what's going down. Ortiz then says the scandal this is something that now that it's out there, again, you can't put the blank back in the horse, if you know what I mean. This is something that's going to haunt the Astros for a long time.
I was in a clubhouse for a long time, and never anything like that comes up, you know what I'm saying? But now they're going to have to deal with that for a long time, because it's not only a situation that involves player. You're talking about the whole franchise. Like, I haven't seen the way the media and everybody's approaching the Houston Astros.
So, and, you know, it's going to be around. It's going to be the scarlet letter that hangs over the Astros organization for a good while, until this really starts to fade from memory. And even if let's just say the Astros win a championship this year again, and they have a stacked team. They've got a very capable team. But even if they win it again, it is going to be completely stained. For anybody outside of the Houston area, for them, it would be vindication to say, hey, we're still a good baseball team and we deserve to be here. But for everybody else, it'll be just a stain, much like right after the, you know, the Spygate scandal for the New England Patriots. Ortiz says that garbage banging, he said, look, it was so loud, it was obvious to everybody.
You heard all the banging every day. You heard all this thing going on every day. So people is not stupid, you know? Like, if I heard that, if I'm a fan that come to that stadium, every home game, like we have, at some point I'm going to hear that banging. And I'm talking about as a fan, okay? And that's going to come out, how come there's this banging going on every time we are hitting? You know, like, it was something that it was, from what I have seen, seemed like it was something that it came to the point that it was obvious, too obvious, you know what I'm saying?
So now Jonathan Lucroy, he said, hey, look, this, while, yes, the story broke and suddenly everybody got appalled by it, he said, look, we all knew the Astros were cheating.
I knew about that 2 years ago. It was going on. And I know it just recently came out. everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say, which is kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs.
So he has it. I mean, he knew about it. It wasn't anything that was crazy. It wasn't like, you know, teams didn't know what was going on. And many of the American League teams even warned the Washington Nationals this past year what was happening. Said, hey, he was warning other teams that the Astros were cheating.
Whenever I saw it, I read it, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And people were calling me, and I was like, look, I've known about that for 2 years. You know, for guys that playing against them, you know, we would spread around. I would text people and be like, hey, just so you know, this is what's going on. And, you know, so it got around baseball pretty quick.
Everybody kind of knew. Everybody kind of knew. So, you know, find out. Find out. I mean, you know, he said, look, they were constantly changing signs. If you figured out somebody was catching on to you, they just had to figure it out.
You know, we actively changed signs. Almost every pitch we were changing signs. And you had to, because they had them. They would relay them to second. They were stealing them from first too, from between your legs. So they were actively. They had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it, and it was a challenge, especially very very. It was a mental challenge to really overcome that.
So look, everybody kind of knew. They knew. He knew. Everybody kind of knew. But Big Poppy basically saying that Fires is wrong for being a snitch. He's labeling him like the mob would. You're a snitch. You didn't tell till after the fact. You know, well, come on. You're not going to derail your season. Can you imagine coming out in the midst of a pennant chase and saying, you know what, between you and me, we're cheating. Come on. You know, then you would be called a snitch, because then you're letting everybody in that locker room down. Okay, everybody that worked so hard from spring training on, then you'd be actually being a Benedict Arnold to your teammates. So you're never in a good position, right? To come out, at what point do you come out? You know, they're doing it. Now you're on an opposing team.
Well, the thing is, Fires came out 2 years ago. He told Jonathan Lucroy,
right.
And Lucroy was telling everyone else about it. So Big Poppy's making it sound like this is well after the fact.
Right.
No, this was.
But he didn't go like to the commissioner's office and in the midst of a pennant chase and go,
no,
hey, you know what, between you and me. They actually tried to kind of leak it out to say this is what's going on. They told, from what I understand, baseball knew about this about 2 years ago as well.
Baseball knew about it because fires went to the A's and the A's went to Major League Baseball and baseball did nothing about it.
Baseball's as much at fault as the Astros are for allowing. That's part of the reason that when you really dig behind the scenes and you start to look behind the curtain that is the Wizard, Rob Manfred really dropped the ball. Really dropped the ball on this. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. I'm paying attention to something that I don't normally talk about. And I'm doing it for a particular reason because I just think he's a good guy. Now, I haven't seen him and really got a chance to sit down and talk with him over the last couple of years. I have seen him, I should say, at Super Bowl a couple of times. We've said hello. But I'll give you something for a forgotten sport to root for this weekend. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Show, we're on the air. We are glad you are here. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. So, the last time, look, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, these two guys went at it December 1st, 2018. Huge audience. Big fight. And in that 12th round is when Deontay Wilder finally landed that massive, big, just big left hook combination. And that was pretty much it, but it was a hell of a fight to that point. And one of the things that is kind of resurging, I guess, is because of Deontay Wilder, you've got an American who is the heavyweight champion of the world, and he has been defending his title quite prominently. And boxing is falling by the wayside, although the audience for the last fight between these two was huge. So one of the questions becomes, are you going to be paying attention to the fight this weekend? You know, Deontay Wilder and Fury are going to be going at it. And I go back to, we were in Phoenix, Arizona for Super Bowl some years ago. And Deontay Wilder was an up-and-comer. He had just won the heavyweight championship of the world. And I'll never forget, he's walking around, and he wasn't even carrying the belt or anything. He just was walking around, just normal big dude, man. And a lot of people thought he was a football player. They just couldn't figure out who he was. Nobody knew. So he came over to the table, and he sat down, and he was actually waiting to do another interview. And we were still waiting to go on the air, and he came over and just said, do you care if I sit here? He sits down, and I started talking to him. And I knew who he was just because I don't know, I saw some pictures. It wasn't like I paid a ton of attention to boxing at that point in time. But he sat down. I said, you know what, can I get you on the air with us? So we did this interview. And he started to talk to me about, you know, about his career. And then I asked him, I said, well, why do you do boxing? Why is it boxing? Why is boxing so big? He's talking about golden gloves and, you know, as a kid and fighting in the streets and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the usual stuff. But one of the things that I found so intriguing is he said, he started talking about being a father, not leaving his child, not abandoning his kid, and on and on and on. And he said, because I'm really not that great at a lot of things. And he said, but if I can do this and my kid doesn't have to worry about growing up in the same predicament I did, and I can show the rest of the world that I can be an athlete, I can have fame, I can win the heavyweight championship of the world, I can get money, and I can make sure as a father that I take care of my kid. It was like this life lesson. It just kind of blew me away. Such an incredibly down-to-earth figure. Now, his stature has grown, and so is the size of the posse, so to speak. But when I saw him not too long ago, still said hi, still seemed like that guy, you know, that because sometimes you'll get guys that'll get big and they'll lose it. And they may be wearing the sunglasses and the gold chains and everything else, and you're thinking that guy changed. But while he has the facade of big time and champion, when he came over and talked to me recently, he still had that same, I'm doing this for my kid. I just want to make sure my kid's taken care of. And I kind of laughed. I said, well, then I would put that gold necklace in a safety deposit box because it looks like a boat anchor. And he kind of laughed and he said, this would be something that if they need to melt it down and they need money, they can do it. You know, it was just, it was that kind of cool, I guess. So look, I don't know who you're rooting for, but Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury are going to be going at it. And it promises in many ways, shapes, and forms to be another great battle. But if there's somebody to root for, keep that in mind as to why Deontay Wilder kind of does what he does and tries to be the most devastating puncher in boxing, you know? So, I mean, he knocked Fury down in the ninth round, knocked him out seemingly in the final round just before, Fury got back up from the mat, but the bell rang and that pretty much ended things. But just an amazing fighter. They also got a piece on him. It's called Deontay Wilder Power. And it's all about his message and everything, breaking down the punching power and talks about who he is as a person and everything. It's a pretty cool thing. So if you get a chance to see it, find it. But it should be a good one. Should be a good one. So if you're going to watch that this weekend, kind of think if you're going to root for somebody, that's a guy to root for. I think Deontay Wilder is kind of a cool cat. Coming up here in the next hour, we got some buy or sell right around the corner. So we're going to get into that. Joe Giglio. Sports Radio 94 WIP in Philadelphia. We're going to talk with him about the upcoming matchup between the Bucks and the 76ers, and we'll get his thoughts as to whether or not he thinks that Joel Embiid is actually the best player in the world, as Joel Embiid has proclaimed. Because I don't even know if Philadelphia thinks he's the best player in their city. This portion of the program brought to you by our great, great friends at Pella Doors and Windows. If you haven't heard already, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they extended last month's financing offers for the whole month. 10-year, 2.99%, right then and there. Right then and there. Then, in addition to that, 18-month, 0%. They've been selling these things so fast, they now need help. So what they want you to do, apply immediately. If you are an experienced window or door installer, listen up. Go to PellaWI.com/career opportunities. That's PellaWI.com/career opportunities. And they're looking for good people. Or if you're looking for doors and windows, much like I was, all you got to do is go to PellaWI.com and see for yourself what it is they have to offer, not to mention some terrific financing offers right now. PellaWI.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.